some of what I'm going to tie in today to the anointing, I want to share with you. Last Friday night, not past Friday, Friday night a week ago, I was in Ohio in a prophetic summit with Jane Hammond, Tim Sheets, Dutch Sheets, and Chuck Pierce. And the Lord spoke very clearly that there are mantles, there are Romans 8:37 mantles being released to the body of Christ. And Romans 8:37 says, in all things. Everybody say all things. You're more than a conqueror. And when God gave that to me, I asked him, I said, what is more than a conqueror? And this is what he said, a victor. I want to declare over you, you're not a victim, you're a victor. I want to declare over you that no weapon formed against you will prosper. That makes you a victor. And I want to declare over you that this is a time that you need to reach up in faith and take hold of the mantle or the authority of God that equips and empowers you to be more than a conqueror. I need to release the children, don't I? Amen. We release our children to go and minister to the Lord. Yeah, okay, some of them have been ready, all right? Let me get away from Brother Clay and get back to Children's Church so we can minister to the Lord. All right, amen. It's good. And so I'm going to be talking, we're still in Holy Spirit, but I'm going to be talking about the anointing today. But when we speak about a mantle, we're talking about an anointing. There's an anointing. You know, some people have anointings to do certain things. God equips them. If you have God's word, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. I love this. I love this. I love this. It says, for our gospel. The word gospel, as you know, is good news. For the good news that we have did not come to you in word only. The gospel that God has given us is a gospel of results. It's a gospel of action. It's a gospel of power. We are moving into a time of synergic dunamis. In other words, the synergy of the body of Christ coming together and working together is going to release a whole new level of dunamis in you and I. It's going to be a whole new level of the power. The word dunamis is the word power. It's where we get our present day word dynamo. Not just dynamite, dynamo. A dynamo makes consistent power. It's not something, I used to have a permit to blow dynamite. I blew beaver dams on farms in Arkansas. I was hired to do that, and I like to see dynamite go off. Okay? But once that stick of dynamite went off one time, it could never be used again. God doesn't want us to be a one-time wonder. He wants us to be a consistent source of his power so that we can accomplish the will of God. I'm telling you, things are changing. We are hearing reports out of the outback of Australia to where there is a release of God has come, and the Aboriginal youth are just being born again left and right. There's close to 1 million Muslims a month being born again. Do you hear what I'm telling you? These are substantiated statistics that are there. God is moving at an unprecedented rate, and I don't care how bad the news is on TV or how worried you are about this. The good news is he is working in our midst, and he's doing exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think or ask. It's a time of restoration. It's a time of reconstituting. But it said, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in dunamis, in power. Yes. I don't want to, hear about it. I have a friend, Malcolm Baxter, that's taken over a church in Nottingham, England. And when he was on staff there for many years and what part of the leadership, and then he went to South Africa and pastored, and he's came back and inherited the church from his spiritual father, David Shearman. And he used to say this all the time, I agree, I refuse to raise my children in a church that talks about the power and healing of God but doesn't ever see it. It's time to realize that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think or ask. But we've got to change our attitude. We got to take the limitations off of God. We've got to move into that place of allowing the Holy Spirit to move in spite of us. We got to quit putting, listen, some of you know, I used to have on my Facebook page that my job was to get God out of the box. And one day God spoke to me and he said, nobody's big enough to put me in a box. They only put themselves in the box and they think they put me in the box. And I changed my job description there when I did that. Listen, quit putting yourself in a box that limits God being able to do something. Amen. You need to realize that, years ago, and I'm not saying this because of someone I met today, but years ago, I'll say it this way, when we were in a traditional church, we discovered in the book of James, where it says, is there any sick among you? Let them call on the elders of the church and go and let them anoint with oil. And I went to my pastor, and he informed me that that didn't happen anymore, that had passed away. I was a young Christian. I was taller than that, but I was young. I was a young Christian. And I said to my pastor, I was taught to honor and respect of this traditional church. And I said to him, I guess I haven't read that yet. I haven't found that in God's Word. It's been 30-some years. I still hadn't found that. Are you hearing me? Now, I said this over the weekend with the End Time Handmaiden. You need to catch it. Religion, which comes from the traditions of man, redefines truth to accommodate its own weaknesses. Come on, when they talk about this passed away and that passed away, it's amazing. I want to be nice. Lord, I want to behave. But anyway, now the Southern Baptists are embracing the fact that their missionaries overseas can receive the baptism and speak in tongues. You know why? Because you can't fight truth. When you try to squelch truth, it'd be like you can't pump enough darkness in this room to put these lights out. Amen? It's not possible. And so instead of fighting it, I think of the story. In fact, I see my friend Don Stewart here today, following the fire, Gerald Durstein, Strawberry Lake, Minnesota. I remember Don's the one who told me to read this book almost 100 years ago. I know I don't look that old. He does, all right? But anyway... But anyway, in that book, it was a Mennonite camp, and Holy Spirit fell. The anointing fell, and lives began to be changed, and people started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I remember in the book it said that they were dragging them off into a cloak closet and hiding those that were speaking in tongues, and falling under the power, and said the more we drug away, the more it happened. You can't stop what God's doing. I don't want to stop it. I want to get out of his way and let him. I am determined to see a move of God across the Mid-South that's going to be so supernatural, that's going to sweep in the prodigals. I prophesied last Sunday. I was up on the Wolf River in North Memphis, right off of Jackson, in a predominantly black church, and I prophesied, and it was the word of the Lord, there's going to be a gang leader in Memphis become born again, and he's going to become an evangelist. Yes, can you imagine? Yes. It's not if this is going to happen, when this happened. Can you imagine when that young man, he's standing there preaching, and some of the former gang comes out and shoots at him, and the bullets fall to the ground. That's it. But it always begins with one. Are you hearing me? In Mark 16 and verse 20, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. I'm just telling you, it was a sign a few Sundays ago when the prayer over that beautiful child of destiny in Carrie's womb was touched by the power of God. It was a sign recently all the healings that are taking place. And by the way, if you're not aware, on Monday night from 7 to 8:30, the healing rooms meet here, and they pray for the sick, and the results are astounding. And I think I failed to tell you, Ira, while I'm there, but John Jones, Bethesda, wants to talk to you about starting a healing room up there. And so I've been supposed to tell you to get in contact with him, so I'll do it while I remember. Amen. It says, through accompanying signs. Romans 1 and 16, I love this scripture. Paul here says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also for the Greek. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know, through the prayers of my mother-in-law and four other women who had visited Israel and received the baptism of Holy Spirit and came back to a little United Methodist Church in Wheatley, Arkansas, and started a prayer group and wrote 27 names on a prayer list, God reached down and picked me up out of a pit. Don't give up on your loved one. Don't give up on the prodigals. Don't give up on those that you know are going to come in. Begin to see them. Begin to hold on. Begin to stir that passion of prayer in you fresh and new again. I'm telling you, there is something breaking in the spirit, and the prodigals are coming home. Lives are going to be changed. There is something that is happening. It's not going to happen. It is happening. God is casting a brand new net on the other side of the boat, and that net is going to bring in a catch that we can't even hold. We've got to move. I listened to a little clip this morning by John Vevere, and he was talking about how we look at the success of churches by the size or the greatness of the music and worship and all that. Listen, the true sign of whether a church is moving with God and is prospering is whether or not people are being discipled. You can be born again and live like a sinner. If you don't renew your mind and you don't crucify your flesh, you can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and be in adultery. The church is filled with sin today. And don't you buy in. You need to hear me. Don't you buy into this greasy grace message said just give them grace. Only God can give grace. And that grace doesn't look at your sin and say you're going to be okay. That grace looks at your sin and said, I can empower you to be different. When he reached down with this grace 30 some years ago and he reached into that pit of sin and destruction that I'd placed myself in, abusing speed and drinking alcohol, being unfaithful in my covenant, all the things, I want to tell you there was an empowering grace that began to empower me to become who I am. Are you hearing me today? I'm excited about what I am seeing God do in the earth. I'm excited to know that His plan is coming to pass. I'm excited to know that people are putting away traditions of man and picking up the will of God. Are you hearing me? Let's talk about the anointing for a moment. How many of you know there's an anointing to do things? Dan Billman, who is a pastor, teacher, has an anointing presently to work at FedEx and to lead a crew. Might be getting a little thin, but there's been an anointing for that. Things change. That anointing's filled with grace. It empowers you. People say to me all the time that follow me on Facebook, how do you travel and go as much as you do? There's a grace that empowers me. There's a grace where I don't get tired. I get stirred by doing it. We were in some of the most incredible meetings on Thursday in Little Rock, Arkansas, working on what we're going to do, the seat of government. In fact, Mark, Tuesday night, the 21st, at 8 o'clock, we'll be putting the number out. We're going to be doing a conference call about Arkansas. You say, well, I'm not from Arkansas. We need your power of agreement as you listen, as we cast this vision, and we begin to pray for that. Listen, there was a prophetic word back in 2004 that says, as goes Arkansas, so goes the nation. And Arkansas is at a place that's got to step out and lead so that Tennessee and Mississippi and Kentucky and Alabama and all these other states can fall in behind and begin to follow, and God can do. There's an anointing to be a mother. How many of you women, when you were going to have your first child, you wonder, how many mistakes will I make? But there is an anointing that comes. There's an anointing to preach. You know, let me just tell you, you don't have to be an Ephesians 4 apostle or prophet or evangelist or shepherd or teacher to be a preacher of the gospel. You can preach at your job place. You can preach on one of the mountains, the business mountain, the education mountain, the family mountain, the religious mountain, or I like to call it the spiritual mountain. Or you can, the arts and entertainment, the media mountain, whatever it might be. God has put good news in your mouth. You say, I don't know what to say. Tell them what God's done for you. Tell him that he reached down into the miry pit and he pulled you up out of it and he put your foot on a firm foundation and he put a new song in your mouth, a song of praise unto God. When my friend Paul Daugherty got born again, he had been shot in a gas station robbery in, I think, Atlanta, Georgia, and his arm was paralyzed. It didn't move. And he heard about a preacher, a pastor down in South Arkansas that could pray for the sick and healings would take. And he went there, and when he got to the church, it was on an off night, and they were having a deacon meeting. He just stormed in, told him he wanted to pray for him. He felt like God had told him to go there. And the pastor took him away from the deacons and told him, he said, son, said, I hadn't seen God heal anybody, and I don't know when. Said, I don't know why he would tell you to come to me. And Paul said, I know this. He told me to come. I want you to pray. And he prayed, and that arm that was paralyzed and limp began to work. And the old pastor looked at Paul and said this to him. He said, son, I want you to preach me a revival. Paul said, I've never preached. He said, son, you ain't got to preach. Just show them what God did. And literally, almost 100 people were born again as he stayed there night after night after night. Your testimony, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word in. I know your translation says of, but in, when you go into the Greek, it's the word in your testimony. How many of you know your testimony needs to glorify God? I think it was Don told me this story in Starksville, Mississippi, a little Pentecostal church many years ago, and a lady stood up one night on Sunday night. They called that gospel night in Pentecostal churches, and she stood up to testify, and she said, y'all pray for me. The devil's been trying to kill me all week. Bless his holy name. Now, how many of you know she wasn't talking about bless the devil's holy name? But we need to make sure that the words in our testimony bring glory to God. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word in our testimony. And we love not our life unto death. It's time that you become a clearly read epistle. Met a new friend today. He shared with me. He's a minister, but he works in hospice, and I was commending him. We have such an appreciation for those that work in that, because we've had to walk so many families and our families through these times with that. And it's such a godly thing to help comfort the family, and it makes transitions so much easier. There's an anointing to do what this man of God does. There's an anointing to pray for the sick. There's an anointing to cast out devils. Can I prophesy to you? You know, I know we have visitors today. Let me just tell you, I'm 100% comfortable being me. If that disturbs you, that's between you and God. But I'm telling you, there is a release of the anointing and Spirit of God it's coming to traditional churches, and there's going to be demonic manifestations right in those churches, I'm telling you, and there's going to be delivered, and there's going to be people that are going to get hungry. I'm telling you, a lot that's going on in churches in many places is simply like giving a baby a pacifier. If you're a mother and you've got a baby, you know you can give that child a pacifier and it pacifies for a little while. But eventually that child wants mama, or that child wants a bottle, that child wants a diaper change. I'm telling you, it won't just pacify them forever. And what has gone on that's not filled, listen to me, not filled with the power of God will only pacify for a while. I believe God is working to bring his church together. Every denomination started out with a revelation from God that was powerful. You know, I'm not just picking on it because I met someone, but my background is Methodist, and I have every bit of John Wesley's diary in that laptop, in that iPad right there. I have access to it. Actually, not an iPad, in my laptop. And I love reading it. Let me tell you just one of his. Was riding my horse. This was in Georgia. Was riding my horse to preach the gospel, and he came up lame. Got out my trusted anointing oil. Anointed my horse, and he was healed. Rode the additional 6 miles, and 31 people were born again. I want to tell you, that's what we need today. That's what we need to see. We need a people that just believes God will. Listen, a lot believe God can, but not many believe God will. We need to understand that he will do it. We with it. When my father-in-law years ago and I saw a woman raised from the dead, I want to tell you, he entered into that place that God will. I entered into when she had been struck by a pickup, believing God could, but I didn't have it. But after a while of him praying and beginning to pray in the Spirit, my belief that God could moved into God would. And when we did, we saw this woman raised from the dead. I mean, absolutely, undeniably. If you have a hard time believing that, don't believe that I'm a liar. Just ask God to reveal it to you, because we saw it right in the middle of U.S. Highway 70 in Arkansas. There's an anointing to give altar calls. How many of you ever heard Billy Graham preach? I honor him. Oh, I honor him. But can I tell you, he's not that strong a preacher. But every time I ever heard him preach, when he gave the altar call, I wanted to get saved again. There's something on an anointing on him when he said, come. I'm telling you, people get out of their chair and they go to the front. And he in one of his books, he talked about, he said, I've never felt the weightiness of God until I give the altar call. He actually said in the book I read, it feels like a big bearskin coat settles on my shoulder. That's the anointing. And you must recognize the anointing for what God wants to do in your life. We can't live without the anointing. Susan and I have friends that are trying to live without the anointing. We are amazed what they're going through. We're amazed what is happening in their life and the struggles and the difficulty. Life is filled with challenges. Bad things happen to good people. But I'm telling you, there is an anointing that will carry you through whatever that comes your way. There's an anointing to win souls. There's an anointing to teach revelation knowledge. There's an anointing to prophesy. Can I tell you, there's an anointing to make money. Oh, you know money's evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. When you don't love money, see, anything that controls you is evil other than Holy Spirit. But when you don't let the love of money control you, when you don't let money control you, you control money. He said he gives us the power to get wealth. He wants us. I'm telling you, there's a wealth transfer coming. I'm telling you, I know it's coming. It's going to be surreal. I mean, it's going to be so far above anything. See, we've got to understand there's an anointing to see sight recovered to the blind, to set at liberty those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, turn there with me, verse 4 and 5. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you know that a counseling session with a pastor without the anointing being there is mental assent, and all it does is put a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound? It's like taking aspirins when you got a headache. It will relieve the pain, but the source of the problem is still there. It's like having an infection in your body. You can take aspirin and feel better, but it's not dealing with the infection. You have to do things that deal with the root sore. See, let me tell you some things the anointing is not. It's not fleshly strength or ability. There are many books out there that say the charismatic, spirit-filled, Pentecostal church that we are, if Holy Spirit was removed from the earth, we would probably go on operating without Holy Spirit for 5 to 7 years before we realized, because we've learned how to get the lighting just right. We've learned how to get the music just right. We learned how to get the preaching. You know, I mean, churches are going with that. I mean, I'm trying. I'm such a revivalist at heart. I'm trying to learn how, when I'm here on Sunday, to not keep you here to 2 and 3 o'clock. No, I haven't ever done that. I've thought about doing that. I'm learning how to say more effectively in less time, and to do that so that we can build and we can grow. And I believe that God wants that for us. But see, it's not fleshly strength or ability. If you can do it in your own strength, then you need to check it out whether or not God is working with you. The next one is, the anointing is not just the presence of God. In this room, there is air. But when the air conditioned unit, which I think I hear it on, when it kicks in, it begins to move the air in the room. The air is like the presence of God. The movement of air is the manifested presence of God. I don't want to just come to church on Sunday and be the church and assemble and do all we do and not have the manifested presence of God. I hope something that I'm saying is causing you to think in a different way. I hope something I'm saying is causing you to begin to examine, where are you with your walk with God? Where are you in your time of intimacy with God? Where are you in the place that God has you? The anointing is not just the presence of God. It is the manifested presence of God. The third thing, the anointing is not training or method on a formula to do something. That's what happened. Probably going to step on some toes. But what happened to some of our precious, precious brethren that were in the faith movement? They quit having the God kind of faith and started having faith in their faith. And many became shipwrecked. Many have quit the body of Christ today because of that. It's not about having faith. Listen, there's only one way faith comes. Faith doesn't come from reading your Bible. Faith doesn't come from going to church on Sunday. Faith comes when you read your Bible and God speaks. Faith comes when you go to church and God speaks. Faith only comes when God breathes a word or breathes on a word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God-breathed word. When faith, he speaks, a lot of people say they're operating in faith, but they haven't heard God. If you've done this with me, I'm not picking on you, but people come to me all the time and say, Apostle, pray for me. I'm going through this, and I'll ask a simple question. What scripture or scriptures are you standing on? Well, I ain't got one. I said, then I can't stand with you. Because you can only stand when you've got a scripture. See, when you pull out a scripture that you're standing on, that gives God opportunity to breathe and faith to come. You know, it's just like some of you know, our guests will know, but we know that there is land in Arkansas that belongs to us. We don't have the money to buy it for a ministry center. We don't have that. But I'm telling you, I know it's our land. And not only that, the lady that is the executor of the state, she says God told her it's our land. She took it off the market. I mean, I'm not talking about a small little bit of acreage. 353 acres, you know, with that. And she pulled it off the market because she believed. Listen, only God speaking can give you that kind of faith. She needs this land sold. She's 80, in her 80s. Now, she's in her 80s going on about 65, all right? She's the youngest 80-some-year-old I've ever seen. But she knows that God has something. See, the anointing is tangible. It's a supernatural substance. It is the power of God. It is dunamis. The strong number for dunamis is 1411, if you want to look it up and see what it says about that word. In Luke 10, in verse 19, it says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy." Not some of it. All of it. "And nothing shall by no means hurt you." Listen, God is not a liar. What he says is true. What he wants to do for you is true. Then in Luke 4, in verse 18, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Look at your neighbor and say, that's speaking about you. Now look to your neighbor and say, it's speaking about me. Where it says there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Are you hearing me? We must understand what's going on. It goes on and said, "In the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." The anointing, the word anointing, when you go into it, means to smear, to rub, to pour all over with oil. When you've been graced with an anointing, you've been furnished with what is needed to get the job done. When John G. Lake went to Africa and watched his wife and children die of a plague, but yet it is reported in history that the same disease and plague that killed his family could be placed in his hand under a microscope, and the scientists or doctors that looked at it said it would die in his hand. The anointing did it. John G. Lake didn't do that. His submission and surrender to the will of God caused God to be able to anoint him to that level. I'm here to tell you, you know, we passed through a little place in Arkansas the other day, and Susan and I like to Google and read history, and we passed through a place called Crabtree. I mean, if we did a half a blink and almost missed it, okay? It's way up in the mountains, you know, with that. It's near Whit Springs, in case you want to go there, all right? With that. The other side of Clinton, up in that part. And Susan looked it up about where to get. We have a friend that's a pastor in Kentucky and a prophet, and his last name is Crabtree. So we looked it up, and this is what we found out. The Mr. Crabtree that founded that community lived to be 124 years old. Woo! There was an anointing that he tapped into to live that long. What is the anointing for you? Too many are dying prematurely today because they're not taking care of the temple. They're not doing what God wants to do. In Acts 10 and 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you have an anointing, people are going to say God is with you. If you have an anointing, people are going to be able to look at your life and know that God, there's something supernatural working with you. There's something that happens, that is happening that with it. in Acts chapter 3. Let me find my notes here. I'm going to just go through some Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who gladly received his word were baptized that day, and there were 3,000 souls added to the church, or added to them. In Acts 3 and verses 1 through 16, I'm just going to read a couple. It said, now Peter and John went up to the temple, the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask for alms. And you know the story. Peter looked down and said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have. What did he have? An anointing. Let me tell you how the anointing comes and how it's related. Through intimacy with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, we started in this two-month series on Holy Spirit and the anointing, and I started with that very scripture. It says, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion or fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. I'm telling you, are you communing daily? Are you fellowshipping daily with Holy Spirit? Are you asking Him what He would have you do today? Are you asking Him what it is that you need to take a step back from? I'm telling you, we are in a threshing floor year. There's a separation coming. Some of us are going to have to separate ourselves from people we've been running with because they're not willing to pay the price to go to the next level. And they're only going to pull you off course. They're going to hold you back. They're going to be like a chain around your leg. And when you deal with this, when I got born again, I had a bunch of heathen buddies. I had to cut every one of them off. Some of them have not forgiven me to this day. You know, when I go back to where I'm from, Brinkley, Arkansas, it always amazes me. I go back there, I get asked this one fatal question every time. I've been born again. I've been preaching 31 years this year, full time, okay? And I always get asked this question, you still preaching? So I've made up my mind. The next time I go back to Brinkley or Wheatley and somebody asks me that question, this is what I'm going to say. No, bought a casino. Much better. Money's much better. Just shake them up a little bit. Some of you visitors are wondering about me. But I get tired. It's like, you know, they're still expecting me to backslide. I'm telling you, he had to reach so far down into that pit I was in, there ain't no backsliding going to take place. Amen? I ain't going back. He's got something better. We see what he's saying there in Acts 4, 7 through 10. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power and name have you done this? And Peter, filled with Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name, remember, let me just help you. Anywhere you read the word name in Hebrew or Greek, it means character, authority, and nature. I have to emphasize this, just a real conviction in my heart. There were many in the day of Jesus or in the day of Yeshua that were called Yeshua. He was not the only person to ever be named that name. Okay? So it wasn't that God picked this name Yeshua and put power in that name. It was that the man who carried it perfectly in character, authority, and nature caused that name to be above every name because he stood there in that character, in that authority, and in that nature. Let me finish this scripture. Where were they at? The rulers of the people and of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man by what have been made, let it be known to you and all the people of Israel that by the name, by the character, the authority, and nature of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you've crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Are you hearing me? It's important to understand that God wants to work with us. We need to tap into his dunamis. We need to tap into his. There's two words that are very important. There are the words exousia, which is the word authority, and there's the word dunamis, which is the word power. We need authority and power working today. I don't know about you, but there's too many sick people. I believe God wants to turn sickness to where it's fleeing. I believe God wants to do some things in that arena. He's wanting you to learn how to pray for the sick right where you're at. He's wanting you to learn how to lay hands on people and see them delivered. He wants you to move into that place that you're willing. Listen, discipleship is not a class that takes place on Sunday morning at the church building. Discipleship should be a way of life. The greatest discipleship you can ever do is around your kitchen table. That's where children used to be discipled into the things of God. And we need to get back to just inviting people over to our house. You know, I remember years ago, we used to meet over at Rob Martin's house all the time, but when we first met Don Stewart, that's here today, and we just had Bible study. And sometimes it was around red beans and rice. One time it was around red beans, rabbit, and rice. And that. Well, I won't go into the story about how that Rob's dog killed somebody's tame rabbit. I guess I went into the story. But times was hard. It was during a time when Susan and I, coffee grounds will make coffee three times. You just have to keep cutting back on the water. Amen. We went through some hard time. My total income was $5,200 the year of 1985. That's when this was. I like to tell it this way. We were so broke, we couldn't pay attention. Amen. I mean, it was hard time. But can I tell you what? God worked with us, and he walked with us, and we saw Bible studies, and we saw people delivered and healed. And I'm thinking about a missionary to Guatemala that showed up. And one night we took this guy, and he had gotten into some things he shouldn't have, and we saw some deliverance take place. God works where you're at if you'll step up to the plate and allow him to do so. Are you hearing me? My last scripture today is in Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. In just a moment, I'm going to open the front up to pray for anyone that wants this mantle of being more than a conqueror. God said in a very high-level prophetic summit in Middletown, Ohio, last Friday night, that he was releasing mantles of Romans 8:37 to become more than conquerors in all things. I believe the mantles are here. Can I tell you what? Mantles just don't settle down around your neck. Elisha had to do things to get Elijah. Let me just tell you, what Elijah told Elisha, he said, if you see me when I'm taken. And then every time that Elijah took off to go somewhere, he'd tell Elisha, you stay here. You know, sometime you got to do what you know. You have to understand, when Elijah would tell Elisha to stay there, it didn't nullify the first word that Elijah told Elisha. He said, if you see me when I'm done. That's relationship. I know the man. He's in Lima, Peru, that was with, I just went blank on his name, wrote Maximize, Ed, who wrote Maximize Manhood? Some of y'all? Huh? Ed Coe. He was with him he was at Ed's bed when Ed transitioned, and Ed had bestowed a blessing on him. I've worked with this man in Lima with it. Listen, if you want something, you got to get around it. Can I tell you what? I could teach. I don't know if I ever teach. I could expound upon the anointing for the next 3 months and continuously give you new information. But I've got news for you. It ain't taught. It's caught. You want to get around and you want to anointing? Ask God if that anointing's for your life. If he says yes, then get around somebody that's carrying that anointing. When you get around those that are carrying it, it comes through the laying on of hands. It comes through transfer by relationship. It comes. This couple here, Ira and Francine, I gave them word. It'd been quite a few years ago about healing, didn't I? And then this healing room thing began. And can I tell you what? They went for it. They started going every year up to Spokane. They'd go up there and get around that anointing. And look what's happening, not just through them. Dodi is part of it. Others are part of it. There's many that work on those teams. They're, you know, with that. But I'm telling you, you got to go after it. The anointing is free, but I'm telling you, taking hold of it will cost you something. How many of you watched the Super Bowl? Don't anybody do like that? How many of you? Come on. I was in a room. I had a house full of Falcon fans. And I was for the Patriots. And Chris Relier kept wanting to throw me out of my own house. Amen? But can I tell you what? At the end, it got interesting in my house. Not just the game. But I've got news for you. You got to understand, those wide receivers, they went down that field willing to pay the cost. I saw a couple of those wide receivers take some licks that would have jarred my teeth out. Amen? I'm just telling you, it would. But they paid the price to get their hands on that ball, and they carried it across that line. And it was interesting how it goes. This mantle, Romans 8:37 mantle, is here today. You got to reach up and take hold of it. The word receive means take hold of in the Greek language. But you've got to pursue it. You've got to do something. It's got to happen. I want to share with you one other prophetic word. You know, a big word this year. You've already hearing it out of me. You're going to hear it out of others. Dutch is on it. Is the word reconstitute. In Romans 3:19-20, it says, times are refreshing, repent, therefore times are refreshing. And then it goes on there and it speaks about the restoration of all things. That word is the word reconstitute. Let me just give you a prophetic word. How many of you, we have so many young people here. How many of you know what the product Tang, T-A-N-G, was? Everett, you know? Yes. Wow, you're a youngster. How many of you young people know? How many young people don't know what Tang was? Hold your hand up if you don't know what Tang is. Forgive y'all, Katie and Amos. Let me tell you what Tang was. It was an orange-looking powder in a jar. Yep. It was an orange-looking powder, and you would take it out, and when you added water to it, it became orange juice. Okay? It became orange juice. Now, let me just tell you this. Some of you feel like the past season of life has ground you to powder. But God wants you to know that everything that is in you is in you. And He is releasing a release of the water of Holy Spirit. And you're about to become vitamin C to the body of Christ. You're about to release into the immune system of the body of Christ a greater strength of healing and anointing. Do you know that even on the Tang, when you look up Tang, you can find that they say that when you add water to it, you're reconstituting it. Isn't that interesting? It is to me. How many of you feel like you've been ground to powder? Amen? Well, I got news for you. Just let Holy Spirit water come. Let Holy Spirit. Can we get a couple of guys to move this pulpit podium here? And if you want hands laid on you for this mantle to come upon you, remember, go by out there and sign up. You're going to be part of the night watch of prayer on the 20th and 21st. And we'll meet here Wednesday night at 7 to discuss this and give you some protocols about that. But if you want prayer, I want the leadership to come and stand with me. Amen. We're going to lay hands on you so you can take hold of this. Listen, there's something powerful that happens when you come forth to an altar call like this. I don't have silver and gold. I can't give you that, but I have an anointing. These leaders have an anointing. We're going to lay hands on you and believe for this impartation to be stronger than you've ever seen. If we have to, make a double row. I don't know. We're just going to do. Guys, just begin to split up. It's no one person up here. This leadership and I are one. our hearts are knit together. We operate as one. We function as one with that, and we operate in that. And so we're going to lay hands on you. I'm just telling you with that. I want to minister down here to this man of God and to this woman of God. I'm telling you, this is y'all's year. I'm just telling you, I had a dream that night. You called me. And you said, Apostle, we got a fire going. And I said, oh my God, I need to bring a fire. And you said, no, this is a fire of God. We just want it to grow. We want it to burn hotter. We just want it. And I said, well, what's on fire? And you said, my heart, my heart. Let me just tell you, you're going to get to minister to family this year. There's some of your family need this dunamis I've been talking about today. And God's going to use you just by burning. You're going to burn. You're going to be like the burning bush. You're not going to be consumed, but you're going to burn. So, Father, we just lay hands on this man and woman of God. We bless this child that's coming forward. We just declare fire, 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 fire. And we declare they're taking hold of this mantle. This mantle that will cause them to be more than conquerors, that will cause them to overcome in every area and to be victors and not victims in Jesus' name. Go ahead, guys, just start down there and find someone and just start laying hands. It's not about, I'm going to cut my mic off, it's not about a prophetic word.